for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, May the 22nd, 2015. Deborah Vales is the speaker of this service teaching on Exposing and Defeating the Scorpion Sting.
Deborah, who I love her singing, is going to come and speak to us and say some great things. Deborah, come and bless
it. It's an honor to be here on today to share the word of the Lord, and I've already been blessed as well by the word of God, and it's neat how God will speak when you pray. And so what I'm going to share today, the title is Exposing and Defeating the Scorpion Sting. Okay, but before I go further, I do want to pray. Father God, we thank you for this hour, this opportunity, and Lord, we just ask that you will anoint your word, anoint every hearer today. And Lord God, help us to be receptive to everything that you want to say. We thank you for the word that has already gone forth today. We thank you, Father, for deliverance. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to set the captive free. So we ask, God, that you would take us further now in your word. And Father God, bring deliverance even the more, God. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you right now that every demonic spirit is bound, gagged, and muzzled. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you for liberty in the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the power of God. We thank you for the love of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God. Oh, God, we love you. We appreciate you now. So, Father God, you have your way. Holy Spirit, take full control. And Lord, we thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn over to Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read there. And then we're going to Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And I'll read the scripture from there. Okay. Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 8. And again, the title is Exposing and Defeating the Scorpion Sting. The Lord God says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their path. The way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment in their going. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. And Luke 10:19-21 says, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt. hurt you. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. As I read this scripture, read through Isaiah 59, 1 through 5, one of the things that really catches me with this scripture is the Lord really hates sin. And he doesn't want his children, who are us, to have any participation in sin. I believe that's why we're here, because we want to be free. And how many of you know he whom the Son sets free is free indeed? So what we want to talk about is we want to expose the various facets of the scorpion and how the enemy uses this particular spirit to bring us into bondage. Now, Luke 10 and 19 talks about, you said, I give you power. Power is the privilege, competency, freedom, or mastery to operate with delegated influence. Authority, liberty, power, right, and strength. So Jesus gives us his authority and his power to tread, to walk upon, to trample serpents and scorpions. So that means we don't need to be on the defensive, but on the offensive. And he teaches us how to fight effectively as we're free in the name of the Lord Jesus. God gave the disciples power and authority to walk in freedom, authority to operate his delegated authority and power, and the right to walk in the strength of God. Not only did he give that power to the disciples, but he's also given it to us. Amen. Now, the word tread means to make a path. And when I think about that, I think about a field when people constantly go through a different field every day. After a while, you're going to know where they walk because there's a path there. Well, Jesus has given us power to tread. That means our footprint needs to be on his head. Do you all understand what I'm saying? He's given you authority. So every time he frees you, that's a little bit more weight to walk on his head, and now he walking on you. Amen. He doesn't free us for us to constantly be on the defensive. He wants us on the offensive. Okay? Now, the enemy belongs under our feet. Not on top of us, not on our back, not in your ear. Okay? Yeah, because he talks a lot to your mind. I mean, you know that's the playground where he talks to us. You're free of today, and then tomorrow we question whether we're free. And if we listen to him, he'll put us right back in bondage. We have to keep him under our feet. The word serpent is a figurative of a slick, sly, cunning, malicious person or demon. The enemy uses the serpent or used the serpent to deceive Eve. I believe that in the Old Testament, prior to that particular curse, the serpent stood upright. And he was very cunning and very smart. He was a very intelligent creature. So the enemy was able to use the serpent to deceive Eve, and as a result, now the snake crawls on his belly. And that curse will forever remain on that creature because it allowed the enemy to enter into it and use it. So when we allow the enemy access, okay, we can easily enter into a curse as well if we're not careful. We know curses come through generational lines, they come through people, they come through world curses, but you don't want to be a curse because you allow the enemy to use you. So it's important that we recognize God has given us authority over the enemy, and we need to make sure that we keep that authority and do not let the enemy abort that. Now, a scorpion, the sting of a scorpion means, the Greek word scorpios means to pierce by stinging. And a scorpion, what it does, it uses its tail to cause harm. Okay? The sting opens a wound, and then an entry point is open at that point. So whenever the enemy comes in, he comes in through entry points. And I'm going to talk about some entry and some ways that the enemy comes in or tries to come to our life. So if the enemy is allowed to strike with this demon spirit, we're talking about the scorpion today, he will inject deadly venom into its victim with the intent to destroy the person due to the scorpion sting. Okay? There are four traits or character traits of the enemy. I want to talk about those. Number one is temptation. Number two is deception. Number three is accusation. And number four is destruction. So number one, the enemy tempts. Satan works through your senses and passions by stimulating feelings and tempts with imaginations of sinful pleasures. This is why we need to cast down imagination. You have to catch your mind. If you're used to wandering your mind, this is what we always talk about. I was sharing earlier about there's a scripture that says, don't set any wicked thing before your eyes. Watch what you take into your eye again. Because it goes in, and then it goes into your brain. Your brain has a way to have a little TV screen in there. And just when you don't want to think about those things you've been watching at the wrong time, it comes up. You could be sitting in church, and you've been watching something at home or wherever, and all of a sudden that thought will come. That replay will come back to your mind. So you need to be careful. We have to be careful what we allow into our eye gate. And also into your ear gate. Don't just listen to anybody, especially if you know Betty Boo is a gossiper. You don't need to be listening to her. And God is trying to free you, and he's trying to clean up your language, if you will, or change the way you talk. Don't listen to Betty Boo. Turn that off. Okay? You don't have to take all this stuff in through your ear gate. And my daughter told me not to do all that, but Brother Burl told me to take my liberty. So I feel right at home. Is that all right? The word tells us to cast down imagination and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ, bringing it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is something that we have to do in order to gain victory over the enemy. You must take authority over your thoughts, okay? And the Bible talks about us being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Every day we need to be renewed. The Word of God will renew us. This is why when you go through deliverance, God frees you. Then you need to make sure that you have some maintenance and that you can, amen, renew your mind in the Word. Get a bunch of these tapes, take them home, go back, listen to them, or if you get the video, watch them again, because you need to stay fresh in the Word of God. And you need to make sure that your spirit is refreshed and pliable by the Word of God. So it's important that we keep the Word before us. Okay? The goal of the enemy is to entice you to yield to sin, okay, so that he can obtain authority to spoil your goods. Now James 1:14 says this, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So you got to make sure that you keep your mind reeled in. Don't get drawn away. Don't get over in left field when you don't need to be over there. Because when you get isolated, get by yourself, the enemy will try to talk to your mind. He'll begin to tell you, no, that wasn't real. You didn't get delivered. And so you got to make sure that you catch every thought, catch those thoughts. You know when God does something for you. I think every one of us know when the Spirit of the Lord ministers to us, don't allow the enemy to steal it. Don't let him take the seed. When the seed is sown, let it go into good ground, because if it goes in good ground, it's going to come up and bring forth fruit. And the Lord wants us to be fruit bearers. He wants us to bring forth fruit, and he wants our fruit to remain. Okay. Number two, he's a deceiver. The enemy deceives through deceptive reasoning, lies, and self-justification. His goal is to steal the use of your body, whether it be your speech, how you talk, your confession, the use of negative words, all of these things the enemy can use, okay? We gotta make sure we speak the word, pray the word. One of the things that's very, very important is that we pray the word of God, pray it. And when the Lord ministers to you, scriptures pop out at you, write those scriptures down, and then go back and pray them. Father, I thank you that I'm a child of God. I thank you that I am a new creature in you. I thank you that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Pray the word, because the more you pray the word, the stronger you'll become. Okay? The enemy attempts to use your flesh and mind to please him at your expense. Okay? He tries to use us at his way, but we're the ones that's going to pay for it, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Number three, he's an accuser. Satan accuses you before God in an attempt to take your life. And that's both naturally and spiritually. If he can get you to remain in sin, he has a foothold on your life. Not only that, you give him access, okay? And this is one of the things that we have to make sure we do not. Don't give him no access. Don't leave any portal open, no door open to the enemy, okay? Every door that you know you need to close, close it. Okay? Now, I have a saying, when you're in doubt about something, cast it out. If you have a question about, someone was asking me about television programs, I said, look, if you're in doubt about it, just turn it off. You don't even have to play with it. Just turn it off. Don't give the enemy any space in your life. The enemy tries to get us to accuse one another in an attempt to kill with words. Okay? We have to be careful, again, that the things that we say, the words that we speak, our words should be seasoned with salt. Even if you may know something that may be a little negative, but you don't have to say it. You don't have to say, well, I know, Bobby Boo, and I know his attitude, but you may know that, but you can turn it around and say, Father, I want you to touch him. I ask you to bless him. I ask you to pour in your word, reveal yourself to him. You see, turn it around and use the word to do it. Use the word of God. The enemy also attempts to make you think that you're right when you criticize others. And I believe we heard something about that a little bit today in pride. Be careful that you're not critical, that you don't have a judging spirit. In other words, the Bible tells us that we're not to judge. That means we're not to be critical. We're not to low rate. Praise God. But we're to speak life. Don't speak death. Because what you say, the words that you speak, carry weight, whether it's life or whether it's death. So we do have that power to speak life or death. And we have to be careful that we're speaking life. He kills with the use of the sword against one another. In other words, the power of the tongue. Okay? Now, finally, number four, he's a destroyer. The enemy uses entrapments. In other words, he'll try to trap you. He persuades people to sin and then penalizes them for their trespassing. He delights in getting you to break God's commandments, and that's what happened again in the garden. Once he convinced Eve that God really, he's hiding something from you, when that wasn't true, but she believed it, and she was deceived. And then she really looked a little bit more at that fruit or whatever that was on the tree, and she desired it, not realizing the whole garden had been given to her. There was just one tree, and God said, don't mess with that. Just leave it alone. So we have to be careful. When God gives us a command, obey him. Simply do what he says. Because when you traverse into ground where you should not, you open up doors that you shouldn't open, then when you recognize that you've done that, it's opened a bigger door, and then we have so much more to go through to get back straight. Eve never was the same. Adam and Eve was never the same after that day, because they disobeyed God. They got rejection in their heart. They, you know, when God had rejected them, it was a trick of the enemy. So we have to be careful, amen, that we don't allow the enemy to trick us. And that's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. Thank God for Jesus and thank God for his blood. Many people are sick simply because of going against the word of God. Okay? Sickness comes as a direct result of sin. It is attached to sin. And I like what I believe Jerry said about that. It's very, very true. Every sickness, there is a spiritual significance behind it. And I'm learning more about that myself. And even on yesterday, I was thinking about this again. And because I've had some issues with my heart, and I begin to pray, Father, I want you to show me now what's the spiritual significance behind what I'm enduring. What is it? What's the root cause of this? Because in the Bible, I believe it's in Exodus, the Lord said that he would not put any of the diseases that were on Egypt if they walked upright and obeyed. So that lets me know that if I walk right with God, I don't have to be sick. I don't have to have disease in my body. The thing is to walk right with God and keep close accounts with God. When he tells you to forgive, just let it go. When he tells you to release, release it. Don't fight with the enemy. Don't fight with God. Don't fight with one another. Don't struggle with disobedience and rebellion. The more you fight against God, the more the enemy can use these things to come against you. So it's really important for us to allow God day by day, moment by moment, to cleanse our lives, keep us pure, keep us holy, keep us walking in the Word, so that when the enemy tries to come, we have every right to rebuke him, and guess what? He has to flee. If you submit to God, you can resist the devil, and he will flee. He has to go. So sickness comes as a direct result of sin, whether it starts from an inward wound that never heals, or from anger, bitterness that's allowed to fester. When you do, what happens, you give the enemy a legal right to harm you through sickness. Satan rejoices when people are destroyed. That's his ultimate goal. Okay? Okay. So when we overcome and crucify our sinful disposition, we gain victory over the enemy, according to 1 John 3 and 8. The enemy found nothing in Jesus. This is why he died. Okay? He was able to overcome all sin and take back the keys that the enemy took from Adam that never belonged to him. Okay? The enemy was powerless over Jesus because he crucified the sinful desire of the flesh. So when we place our carnal lust on the cross, the Lord liberates us from the power of sin, according to Romans 6, 11 through 14. Now, Revelation 21 and 18, I'm going to talk about 8 categories of sin. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, despising and murderers and whoremongers, fornication and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, all sin falls into one of these categories. In order to eradicate sin, we must get to the root of the tree, uproot it, so that it can no longer grow in our lives. Now, I'm going to give you some examples of these sins and what happened. Number one, Achan. I'm reminded in Joshua chapter 6, verses 18 through 19, and also chapter 7, verses 20 through 25. Achan coveted and he stole the spoils, those things that God said don't touch, don't take those goods because they're going to become a curse. He did it anyway. And as a result of that, he stole He committed adultery and it brought about death. He died and his family died as a result. And not only that, when Joshua went up to the battle, they lost because there was sin in the camp. And how many times have we done things and caused things to happen, sometimes to our family, not realizing sin is in the camp? But we have to make sure that we don't be an Achan. Okay? Because Achan will cause you to die. Okay? Amnon, he raped his sister Tamar. He pretended to be sick, lured her into a room, forced himself on her, and then after he was done, he pushed her away because really he had hatred for women. 2 Samuel 13, verses 6 through 16. He lied, he murdered, he committed fornication. And as a result, he was killed by his brother. Number 3, King Saul. He did not obey God when Samuel told him to destroy the Amalekites. Saul failed because of stubbornness and disobedience. This led to sorcery, idolatry, unbelief, and fear. He ended up going to the witch of Endor because he couldn't hear God, which resulted in the end of his life. He committed suicide the next day. And finally, David had an affair with Bathsheba, fell into sin. He was a whoremonger. He fornicated. Okay? And then he ended up murdering Bathsheba's husband. Tried to cover it up. The prophet went to him, exposed his sin. And as a result, the baby that they conceived died. War came to his house. He was a man of war. He wasn't able to build the temple when he wanted to do that. Even though he repented, he got right with God, but yet there were consequences for his sin. So when we come into agreement or covenant agreement with demons through sin, we become subject to them. Once we repent, confess our sins, and renounce the enemy's lies and strongholds in our lives, that disarms them, okay, according to Proverbs 28 and 13. And I'm going to read that scripture, Proverbs 28 and 13. It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. One of the things that we must do is be honest, just confess. When things come up, even in the setting right here, as we've already seen, when things come up and you know that an area has been hit, confess it. Say, Father, deliver me. Heal me. You know, just come on out with it because Jesus wants us free. And it doesn't take, it's not hard for us to get free. When you have a willing heart, a willing mind, you know, when we first came here in December, you know, I knew that God was doing a deeper work, Jerry. I knew that he wanted to take us further. And so, you know, this ain't no time to play. You know, I came because I said, Father, I know that you're doing a new work now, and whatever things is in my life that you're not pleased with, I want it out. And that's a prayer that I pray every day. There is no shame in my game. Y'all better come on here, you know, because in this day and time, we don't have time to play. I'm real about God. I'm real about the things of God. Amen. I'm just, you know, I love God, but I'm serious because it's about your soul. And not only that, when God has a call on your life, there are people that are watching us, that are looking for realness. There's some folk that's tired of the foolishness that the church is displaying. There's too much religion. Come on here. There's too much legalism. Come on now. Too much tradition. Glory to God. And so God is pulling down the walls. Glory to God. It's time for God, amen, to build a church out of a people. And that's exactly what he's doing. So this type of setting is a blessing. Praise God. And my prayer, Brother Merle, is to see more leaders come and just get healed. Get delivered. Get restored. Glory to God. Because there are lives of people that really love God, but they're going through so heavy. And believe me, ministry is not easy. Dealing with people day in and day out is not an easy job. Praise God. But when you love people and you love what you do and you know that God has truly called you, you've got to stay in a place where you can minister and be effective. And a lot of people are not effective right now because they got so much hurt, persecution, witchcraft. I mean, because we can go on and on and on. So this setting is awesome. Praise God. And there are many, many more that I'm praying will come to get healed and delivered. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Now I'm going to talk about, go back to Revelation 21 and 8. And I'm going to kind of break down the 8 characteristics of, or categories of sin, okay? And I'm going to begin with idolatry. Idolatry carries with it the lust of the eye or a love for wisdom. It is rooted in a love of money or knowledge and covetousness. Idolatry breeds grief, sorrow, loneliness, and selfishness. Some spirits that rule with this are error, antichrist, heaviness, and rejection. Some common sins in this area are theft, and we gave some examples, fraud, gambling, cheating, over-indebtedness, evil imaginations, and child neglect. God hates idolatry. And he will judge it if it is in our lives. Each time the children of Israel went after other gods, they were destroyed. Okay, and God still hates idolatry. So if you find yourself in idolatry, repent quickly and get right with God. Okay, number 2, whoremonger. And all of these things, or you know, if we find ourselves in them, the Bible says that the your destination is the lake of fire. Okay? You're not going to go to heaven with this stuff. Okay. A whoremonger carries with it the lust of the eye or the desire to conquer. The root of this is low self-esteem. The passion behind it is a spirit or inordinate affection. Okay. And inordinate affection, the Greek word is pathos, I believe. It means it is a passion that is unholy. And so the person bound by this demon is perverted and does not know how to love out of a pure heart. Some spirits that rule along with this are slumber, boredom, gluttony, and guilt. Some strongholds that come because of a person being bound by this stronghold are compulsive and impulsive sexual behavior, vile, excessive affection. Okay. Some common sins in this area are fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, homosexual acts, fetishism, and overeating. Okay. Number 3, fearful. Fear carries with it the lust of the eye or the love of life more than for God. It is rooted in a fear of death and faithlessness or cowardice. Okay. It also carries a fear of death. And I remember as a child having a fear of death. And that fear followed me up into adulthood. And I remember when my grandmother passed away and the Lord was dealing with me about this fear, and I convinced myself that I wasn't afraid anymore. And so I went to the funeral and I went up to the casket and I kissed my grandmother's cheek. And when I did, I connected to a death spirit that followed me for about a year or more. And finally, one day, I was sitting on the couch. I mean, this thing tormented me. It tormented me so bad till it got to where I literally could not sleep at night. and I didn't understand what is going on. And one day, I was sitting on the couch, and my daughter, she was in kindergarten, she was at school. And the Lord spoke to me, He said, ask me a question. He said, where is your daughter? I said, she's at school. And He asked me again, where is she? I said, she's at school. He said, so she's not here with you, right? I said, no. He said, but you know where she is? I said, yes. So then he said something wrong. Mother, well, I keep saying, okay. All right. Anyway, he said, where's your grandmother? I said, she's in heaven. He said, where is she? I said, she's in heaven. He said, okay, she ain't with you no more, right? I said, no. He said, when you kiss her body, you connected with a spirit. And I sat there and I said, oh my God. And he took me to the scripture in the Old Testament that talks about don't touch a dead body. And a light bulb went on. I said, oh my God. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. He said, you don't have to be afraid. That's a spirit. And the way I want to use you, you have got to walk the word. I repented that day. God delivered me, Carla, that day from a spirit of fear, spirit of death, and glory to God, I have never been tormented by that spirit again. Glory to God. You see, when God is wanting to do something in your life, He will take you through things and even allow things to happen to you to teach you what not to do. Glory to God. And I tell you, I've never done that again. I don't have to prove anything. I'm not afraid, but don't die because I ain't going to touch you. Amen. So, but my point is fear. Fear will torment you. Fear will keep you locked down. It will keep you from your potential. Glory to God. So if you're battling fear of any kind, ask God to deliver you. He will. And one of the scriptures that we know, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God hath not given me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, stable mind. Come on. A do-right mind. Amen. And love links you to Jesus. So we have to be linked in with the love of God. Do not have to be fearful. Glory to God. Because the fearful will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen, the passion behind it is dismay, cowardice, inhibition, insanity, and torment. Okay? Some strongholds because of this spirit are fear of man, superstition, and instability. And that was another area that I had a problem with. Fear of man. What they gonna say about you? They look at you funny. Let them look. It don't matter. Everyone's not gonna like you. Amen. You're not gonna please everybody. Please God. Okay? Please God. It's the same way with even being here. Now, I'm a preacher really at heart. But I know I gotta teach this. That's why I'm really kinda keep myself calm because this is a lesson that needs to be taught. I don't need to hoop it out. Come on. And which I don't really know how to hoop it. That means singing. I don't sing my message. Amen. I love to preach because, you know, I love the word. But there are times you gotta slow down and teach. Glory to God because we need to hear. Number four, unbelieving. Unbelieving or unbelief carries with it the lust of the eye or the love of honor or praise of people. It is rooted in self-will. Unbelieving is stubborn and refuses to hear. A person that really don't believe, you can tell them all day long the truth. And they're going to look at you like, okay, all right. But if they don't believe it, they're not going to do it. And we should not only be a hearer of the word, but a doer. Okay? Some spirits that rule with this are perversion, deaf and dumb, slothfulness, and defiance. The passion behind the spirit is heresy. Okay? Selfishness, procrastination, performance-oriented, and laziness. People who do not believe are lazy and will not move forward. And if you don't move forward, you're going to become stagnant. And you know, stagnant water ain't good. Because after a while, it smells bad. You can't do anything with it. And I don't want to be stagnant. You got to keep moving. Okay? Keep the Holy Ghost moving in your life. So strongholds are arguing, and people really that are in unbelief, and I'm seeing this, they will argue with you. They sometimes will justify why they're where they're at. And then you give them the word, and they still don't come out. Okay? And that can be a little frustrating, but you know what? We are free moral agents to choose. You choose life or you choose death. So some strongholds, again, are arguing, wastefulness, okay, and sometimes proselytizing, okay. Number five, lying. Lying carries with it, again, the lust of the eye or love of self-image. You know, some people lie to make themselves look good. In actuality, though, they don't end up looking too good because once you really find out a person is a liar, you're not going to put too much confidence in them. Is rooted in self-deception and hypocrisy. Okay? Some spirits that rule with this spirit is divination, exhibitionism, and deception. The passion behind this spirit is backbiting, deceitfulness, divination and false prophecy, boasting, and performance orientation. There's love to perform. Some strongholds, because of this spirit, are cheating, slander, gossip, false prophecy, and even a con spirit. A person that has a con spirit, they know how to run a game on you. They run a real good line, make it look like they're one thing and then there's something else. That's false. Okay. Alright. Abominable or despising, number six. An abominable spirit carries with it the lust of the eye or the love of self-esteem to think highly of oneself. It is rooted in self-justification and self-righteousness. Some spirits that rule with this are haughtiness, blindness, a critical spirit, and strife. The passion behind this spirit is arrogance, pride, mocking, scoffing, contention, critical disposition, and prejudice. Some strongholds, because of this spirit, are hostile to virtue. In other words, anything that's virtuous and pure and holy and kind and sincere, they're not going to have anything to do with it. And we heard about sins that are abomination, and things that are abomination lead to murder. Lead to death. They don't lead to life. Okay? They accuse others, are scornful, full of strife, racism, and slander. And God makes no allowances for any of these things. Okay? Number seven is murder. And murder carries with it the lust of the eye or love of revenge. And you don't have to physically take a gun to murder someone. You can murder them with your tongue. You can character assassinate them. So there are other ways to murder, but murder is still murder. It doesn't matter how you do it. Okay? Some spirits that rule along with this are envy, unforgiveness, and one of the first things we heard when we first came, and we hear it all the time, is you have to forgive. If you want to be delivered, you have to have a forgiving heart. You have to be willing to release and let go. And if you're not willing to do that, there can be no deliverance. Okay. Jealousy and hate are also ruling spirits. And the passion behind the spirit is grudging, to hold a grudge, anger, rage, cruelty, unmerciful, a betrayal spirit, and even maliciousness. Okay. The last one I want to talk about is sorcerers. Sorcery carries with it the lust of the eye or love of dominion. Witchcraft carries with it manipulation, domination, intimidation. Okay. It is rooted in a love of independence and rebellion. Some spirits that rule along with this are witchcraft, as we know, infirmity, anger, and control. So the passion behind this is a spirit of murmuring, complaining, profanity, cunning manipulation, charm, flattery, tears, and bargaining. Some of the strongholds that we must be aware of are drunkenness, drug addiction, bribery, vandalism, violence, cursing, hypochondria, and speaking against leaders. And I really wish I had time to kind of go into that a lot, because a lot of times people speak against not only leaders, but believers, and speaking against one another. We have to be really careful that we don't fall into that. So in order to receive deliverance from these spirits, you must come to grips with the area or areas in your life that need deliverance. Be honest with yourself and with the Lord. Be willing to forgive, renounce, and repent. Make a change by completely turning and going in the opposite direction. Once you do this, the demons no longer have a legal right to remain, and they must be eradicated or evicted. Okay? The doors must be closed to demonic activity, and those areas in your life must be surrendered to God so that you can feel, and so that the Lord can fill those areas with the Holy Spirit. And how many of you know that's what God wants? He wants every area of our life completely surrendered to Him. And I believe someone said this as well, you know, we give our life to the Lord, He does come in, but then that's when the work begins, because our soul has to be saved. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So every day, I have to give more and more over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Each and every day, our lives are being changed from glory to glory, from glory to glory. Where I am today, I don't want to be in this spot tomorrow. Amen. And even I can look back from even just 3 months ago, not where I was 3 months ago. Amen. And then as Jerry said, a year from now, we should not be the same. We should be further along. Praise God. Now, I want to pray. And can we just stand? Can we just stand? And I want you all to repeat this first prayer. And then I want to simply just cut off some things. And if anyone wants personal prayer, we're here to do that. We'll pray with you. We want to pray this. And as we pray this prayer, I just pray that you'll be open and just let the Lord break all this stuff off. So repeat this first part. Father, I thank you for your word and for revealing truth that comes to set me free. I acknowledge and confess my sin, and I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, deliver me, forgive me for allowing the enemy to operate in my life. I renounce every spirit that has had control of my flesh in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I thank you for this prayer, and in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of idolatry, fornication, fear, unbelief, lying, abominable, despising practices, murder, sorcery, and I command all these spirits to go in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word, Lord. We come against any rejection. We come against heaviness, the Antichrist spirit. We command them to go out in Jesus' name. We come against guilt. We come against shame. We come against gluttony. We come against the whoredom spirit. We come against confusion and anxiety in the name of Jesus, and I even come against worry in Jesus' name. We come against faithlessness. We come against bondages in Jesus' name. Bondages to the mind, to the soul, and even where the enemy would want to put spiritual blindness on the eyes. And Father, I ask you, Lord God, to remove scales off the eyes in Jesus' name. We come against defiance and slothfulness. We come against stubbornness in Jesus' name. We command them to go right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that you are loosing your people today from deception, from divination, from witchcraft, from hypocrisy in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, right now that you're breaking off strife, you're breaking off critical spirits in the name of Jesus. Any gossip, any lying, any tale-bearing, we come against that as well in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you, God, for releasing from bitterness and blindness in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord God, that as these spirits go, if there's healing that's needed in your people, I pray for healing right now. Healing in the mind, healing in the soul, healing in the spirit, healing in mental capacities in the name of Jesus. We command any hatred, jealousy, and unforgiveness to go in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you right now, Father God, for delivering from anger, infirmity, rebellion, manipulation, and witchcraft in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you right now, Father God, that your people, God, are pliable and open to receive from you. So we thank you for healing. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing, all that you've done. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. If anybody wants prayer, please come. We want to pray with you. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free MP3 audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.